whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Yeah, and our birthdays are coming up pretty soon, too. Welcome back into the show. Getting back to our text board. A lot of people letting us know what their favorite weapon is for whitetail deer hunting. Don Martin is checking in from the Rack Shack in Jasper County, Mississippi. He likes the Ruger Model 77-308, and you can still process the front shoulder. Yeah, some of those big guns kind of do some blowing up and ruin some meat. Here's Marine Corps Dave. His choice of weapon is a 308. On an AR platform, he uses it for both hog and deer hunting. Here's one JD in Texas says his favorite deer rifle is a 243 Woodmaster with a 100-grain bullet. Some people say it's too small, but lots of deer say it's not. JD in Texas. Yeah, shot placement is maybe more important than grain size of a bullet or caliber. Taft likes his 270 Browning short mag, says it's a great rifle. Boy, what a variety we got. Here's one, says, hearing about Sears and Montgomery Ward, I bought my first shotgun from TG&Y, Toys, Guns, and Yo-Yos, we used to call that. A Remington 1100, $72 in 1975, still hunt with it. My oldest gun, I've got an over and under Savage Stevens 12-gauge, I bought from Sears in 1969 for, what did I pay? $199 I paid for that gun. Here's one that says, my rifle for deer is a Savage 30-06, bought in 1979. Also had a good day, OTB in the pack, Wednesday, two reds, seven specks, 12 sheephead, one black drum. That's Big E from Thibodeau. And here's a selection for a theme song for Captain Darrell, Sitting on the Dock of the Bay, from Jerry and Kenner. We'll take that into consideration, Jerry. Here's one that says, I used my dad's old Rusher 270, 50 years old. Also my new 35 Whelan Slim. That's in St. Francisville. Slim listening to us there. We're hearing from John Terrebonne. He's with the Convent Hunting Club. First deer rifle was given to him by his paran. And a lever action Marlin 30-30. Yeah, 30-30 lever actions. Winchester and Marlin were very popular back in the day, too, as deer rifles. But then he upgraded him to a Remington 7mm mag when he hit high school. These days, he carries a 270, and he won a 7mm 08 in a raffle. That one he's saving for Kai, his six-year-old son. Can't wait for those early season youth hunts. We've on our way to go load up the rabbit dogs. We have a special spot we've been saving. Should be a spectacular hunt. Actually been a tough season, especially since we had a phenomenal season last year. Good luck to everyone outdoors today. That's from John Terrebonne. All right, here's one that says, Don, I read your piece on NOLA.com. Excellent. I concur, especially after those two recent festivals where imported shrimp were advertised as local. As I mentioned, I had an opinion column published in the Times-Picayune Advocate yesterday on the opinion page. You can also see it on NOLA.com. Talks a little bit about the struggle that shrimpers have and how the blame for that struggle is maybe being misplaced. I think you'll find it interesting reading. Check it out and let me know what you think about it. Metairie Mike, he's going deer hunting with me Browning X-Bolt 270 WSM. Good luck to you. And here's one from my friend David Hubble in Mobile. He says, how about If I Were a Carpenter by Bobby Darin is a theme song? Just a thought. I kind of like that, too. Maybe we'll select that. And here's one says, good morning, Mr. Don. Happy New Year on this wonderful, chilly Saturday morning. Happy early birthday. That's from Jason and the crew over at Corey's Barbershop, where they always let the hair hit the floor. And here's one says, stop the wildlife info. Give me info on the cinnamon sourdough bread. Got to get some, the Lafayette Yakker. It's a special recipe my friend Janice makes. And again, it was really good, too. It goes great with coffee. Thank you again, Janice. Hit the spot. All right, here's who I vote for. 35 Remington, killing him dead since 1906. That's from DeBeard in Turnerville, Alabama. We're going to add you to our list, DeBeard. Here's one that says, Ruger, I apologize, was a spell check. Yeah, I thought that Russ or whatever it was not quite right. Yeah, auto spell check and autocorrect does that kind of stuff to you. And here's one that says, depending on the conditions I'm hunting, a Remington 30-06, a Marlin 30-30, a Remington 12-gauge with triple-aught buck. That's from the Z-Man. And all of those have been known to take down the wily whitetail. All right, if you'd like to text us, it's 504-260-1870. We come back, got a fishing report and also a deer hunting report. That's where he was last week. We're talking about Captain Mike Gallo of Angling Adventures. You'll hear him next right here on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And it's time to talk to Captain Mike Gallo. His reports each week are a presentation of CETO. In fact, you can get signed up with CETO for $249 that covers you for a whole year. What do you get? Well, you get a lot. Number one, it's peace of mind, but you also get free towing should you ever need it. Dock-to-dock towing, that is. They'll jumpstart electrical problems. They carry fuel. They'll bring it to you if you run low. And you can get discounts on fuel, lodging, and a lot more if you become part of the Advantage Network Partners. Check it all out. CETO.com is the easiest way, or Captain Chris will be happy to talk to you about a CETO policy and fishing. Give him a call, Captain Chris, 504-301-4545. One of the stops I made this week was at a place, a deer processor called Double D, and it's up in, it's kind of almost on the border of St. Tammany, Washington Parish. It's actually in Washington Parish, and I had a good conversation with Tom Stogner and his folks over there about hunting, and I was getting some jalapeno cheddar sausage made from some venison, and I was thinking I might run into this guy there, Captain Mike Gallo, because he was trying to get some deer to bring up there. Mike, were you successful last week?
Don, I saw quite a few deer, and I just thought they were all on the small side. So I did not make a trip to Double D for any sausage. But the season's not done, so there's still a little, the window's closing, but there's still some hope.
Well, I got plenty to share. If you like jalapeno, cheddar, smoked sausage, I got some for you coming.
Oh, Double D does it right. I've had their jalapeno cheddar, and that's very good.
Mike, were you able to fish any with this crazy bad weather week we had?
I did not do any fishing this week. I was thinking as you were leading into the segment, talking about CETO, and I was thinking, boy, could you imagine spending a night, one of these nights, out in the marsh because you ran aground or hit something and had problems with your lower unit. And CETO would most likely be a lifesaver in that type of situation.
Absolutely. Yeah, you'd be really appreciated. And I'm sure, you know, they got stories they can tell you about rescuing people under conditions like this. Yeah, it's hard to get fishing reports when you come out of a week like this. But, man, I got to feel like as good as fishing was going into it, when we had the little bit of warm-ups and no rain, I think it's going to return as soon as, you know, it gets back to some kind of normalcy.
Yeah, it makes me think, you and I fished for the fishing game report many years ago. I don't remember if it was Eden Isles or Lakeshore Estates, but it was those deep canals. It was really cold that day. We might have stayed till 10 o'clock. Fortunately, the fish were biting, and we caught a good number of them. But, you know, if you want to go fishing in this type of cold, cold weather, those man-made canals offer to a fish consistent water temperature and not a lot of water movement. As it gets that cold, those fish get lethargic. They really don't want to waste energy fighting the current. So getting in those man-made canals down on the bottom, a really slow retrieve. You know, I tell my customers, if fishing as slow as you can, if that don't work, go slower.
You know, Mike, I remember that exact trip. It was Lakeshore Estates. It was me, you, and Uncle Dan. And the fish were actually suspended. It was deep, but they weren't on the bottom, and it was a very tricky bite. But, you know, it was also some sideline entertainment, if you remember. That guy that lived at the end of the canal, he came out, and he set up golf balls on a tee. And he was whacking the golf balls out into the canals. And I'm going, like, what is with this guy? You remember that?
I do remember that. Fortunately, I believe he has moved away. I was in that area.
He won't be missed by the neighbors, I can tell you.
I was in that area not too long ago. Didn't catch anything. I think it wasn't cold enough yet to drive those fish back into those dead-end areas. But those areas can be very productive when it gets cold. It's just a bit miserable with the cold and the wind and the rain. I didn't make any trips last week. I don't know anybody that did make any trips. I know some of the captains that operate out of my lodge fished last Saturday. They worked long and hard, and they did end up with a decent catch, but it was heavily weighted more towards sheephead. Mm-hmm. And I think they were fishing the bridges. I don't think they were at the bridges in Lake Pontchartrain. I think they were in more protected water, the bridges over Unknown Pass and right. Miller's Bayou, and over by, what is that, Catherine Pass, or some people call it Blind Wrigley's. Mm. But those three bridges have good hard bottoms and shells, and the sheephead will hang around there.
Mike, I wanted to let the listeners know, you know, our feature on our friend Dutch Prager next week would have been the celebration of his 100th birthday. And on Bayou Wild episode, we're going to do that tribute to Dutch Prager, where you and I and Glenn Shore and, you know, his friends went out there and dedicated the Dutch's Corner. It's going to be listed on the map. And we also have a cooking feature with Chef John Foltz called Dutch Treat a la Pot. It was Dutch's special recipe for cooking ducks, and that will be airing beginning on January the 16th. So I want to alert the listeners to be looking for that.
Well, that's great. Dutch's birthday, if I remember correctly, was the 14th. So that'll air right after his 100th birthday. Yep. Yeah, he was a special fella. Still think about him often.
Yep, and the Redfish were participating that day. So Al was with us, and Steve, and Steve had a great time. Yeah, we'll have a great time. Hopefully it'll come out okay. I think we got some really good stuff to show in that episode there. So I want to let everybody know. All right, Captain Mike, way to go, my friend. If somebody wants to get a hold of you, would you please let us know how to get you?
Well, you can find me on DimeTheOutdoorsGuy.com. My website is aaofla.com, social media, Angling Adventures of Louisiana, or the reliable telephone 985-781-7811.
All right, I want you to confirm a rumor for me. A rumor has it that if you take a customer out and they don't catch fish, number one, they don't pay you, and number two, they get to hear you sing Born on the Bayou. Is that factual?
Boy, that'll make somebody catch a fish, won't it?
Yeah, definitely. You will make them catch one for sure. Mike, have a great weekend. We'll catch up with you next week, my friend.
All right, Don. We'll talk to you then.
All right. Hopefully you can get you some venison. All right, we come back after this. More text messages. Eric Muhabarak. Yeah, the kayak reports were a little bit scarce, but they got a minimalist challenge coming up and some unusual fish starting to show up along the Gulf Coast of Mississippi and Louisiana. What the heck is that all about? We'll talk with him about it right after this on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And our Stroking Report is brought to you by No Wake Outfitters, located at 1926 Airline Highway in Metairie, where they're doing Tackle Tuesdays. They have a nice selection of conventional tackle, including that ever-popular Marker 54. And right now they're offering a Fly Fishing 101 course. Begins on February the 15th, so get signed up. It's a 3 to 4 hour class. It goes in depth through the fundamentals, followed by hands-on casting instruction, and includes your first fly fishing rig, complete with the rod, the reel, the line, and the leader, all for $250. No Wake Outfitters. Stop by and see Justin, 1926 Airline Highway in Metairie. They bring you this paddler's report, and Captain Eric Muhabarak is one of our reporters. And, Eric, you know, it's fishing reports from kayaks this time of year with these conditions is kind of like hen's teeth. They're pretty scarce, aren't they?
Well, yeah, with the weather this week, the weather this week we've been having, it's been rough, you know. Like people are saying, the places you can fish, Myrtle Grove, the Wachowski Canal over there and on the east side, you know, find you deeper holes and stuff, dead bait on the bottom, gulp, anything that smells and stinks. And like you said, anything, you know, that changes from 2 foot to 5-6 foot, deeper the better, I believe. But, you know, the Myrtle Grove Canal is about 5-6 foot. So that's why those fish are piling up in there.
Yeah, good spot. All right, the Minimalist Challenge is fast approaching from the Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club. Tell us about that Minimalist Challenge. Where is it going to be? How much is entry fee? And how do you get signed up?
Yeah, I'm sure the entry fee is about $50, maybe 60 at the most, I would think. It is at the Leeville launch in Leeville, Louisiana. You can get in touch with the information on the Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club, Minimus Challenge. I don't recall the number of trout and redfish, but it's an amount put together. I'm pretty sure it's a catch, photo, and release. I may be wrong this time on that. Have to check the rules, but that's coming up February 1st. Get signed up for that, and it's a motor event, so people can use their motors and do the Minimalist Challenge, and you know, to hand you a handful of lures out before it goes, and everybody gets their kayak checked, and then they have a shotgun launch.
Yeah, that's why they call it Minimalist, because you got the minimal amount of baits and types, and nobody knows what it is till they put them in your hand. It's a great little tournament.
That's right.
Now, let's talk about these snook that are showing up. They had one that was caught not far out of Shell Beach, and now you're reporting that there was a Mississippi State record caught, because I don't think they had a category for them.
Well, darn, they didn't have a category, just like in Louisiana, they didn't have a category. And actually, Vince Ray, who's a great guy, if you ever have an opportunity to meet him, if you're riding around the coast, he's usually out there fishing sheephead and mangrove snappers and the redfish and stuff like that. But he's really good at the sheephead fishing. I met Vince Ray about, I guess it's been 10 years now, maybe, at Ride the Bull. And me and Chris were doing the catch boats, and he ended up catching a red, and that's how we kind of met, and he's a great guy. But he's really dedicated to his fishing. The thing with him is he went out, and he accidentally caught this snook. Well, when he was measuring it, and of course, everybody's got to take a picture, it was a snook that was 14 and a half inches long. It flipped off his measuring board. Well, he had thought, man, I'd like to bring that in to the wildlife, because they don't have many around, and get some sign stuff done on it. The next day, he goes back to the very same spot. Boom, he catches a 15.25 inch, and it weighed 1.9 pounds for the state record. He brought it in for scientific purposes, and it ended up blowing up and being, hey, he's now the state record holder. So it's not been verified yet, just like you got to do in Louisiana. It's going to take a little time, but he's a state record holder for the Mississippi state record for the common snook. And it's pretty interesting. He caught that on a voodoo shrimp. Both of them were caught on voodoo shrimp, which is interesting. And he caught it out of a kayak.
Yeah, fishing around the Pascagoula River, and that's a Florida fish. They're very common in Florida, and you know, the fact that they're showing up here, hey, they welcome aboard. Come on west, you know?
They are, Don, and I'm wondering, you know, is that a sign of warmer waters? You know, we're talking about how the water's getting cold and we're going to fish these deep holes and everything, but we have these snook showing up, and it's making me wonder if the water isn't getting as cold. I mean, you know, yes, a couple days, you know what I mean? And then it warms back up, a couple days, and it warms back up. Does that affect these Florida-style fish that are coming in as much as Louisiana fish? Or does Louisiana fish, because they are hardier, have a better opportunity to grow larger with let's just say, the cooler season or whatever? Because we haven't had a freeze yet down here, anyway, below 90, and you know, I'm just wondering if that's going to be great for bigger trout and things like that.
Yeah, very well. We'll have to keep an eye on it and monitor it. Well, Eric, thanks for the report. Yep. You are one of the few kayak charter companies, so if people want to get experience and go with somebody that knows the ropes and got all the equipment and book you, tell them how to get a hold of you.
Well, you can get in touch with me on the Don Dubuque Outdoors Guy on his website right there. You can drop a call, 504-313-8292. A text is better. You can also hit me up on Facebook, the Louisiana Kayak Company. Or just ask around. I'm sure somebody knows me at a fishing shop.
They'll know how to get you. Thanks, Eric. We appreciate it, my friend. Hopefully the fishing gets better and the weather improves this coming week.
Yeah, I got to get back on my Plaquemines Parish oranges, Don. I'm kind of under the weather there, buddy. I'm going to take care of that and get ready to get at it.
Yeah, rest up and go get them. Thank you, Eric. We appreciate it.
All right.
All right, there he goes, Eric Mohabarak. Next week, we'll hear from Brendan Bayard with a Paddler's Report. And right after this time out, you're going to hear our bad boy father and son team. We'll tell you what their crime was and what their time will be next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, getting back to our text. This one says, I read your article about shrimpers are struggling. Why do you think, as the Louisiana Illuminator reported, not a single fine has been levied for violations? Is there an 800 number to report a restaurant? I don't know about an 800 number, but Department of Health and Hospitals, DAH, would be the place to report any violations that you might notice. Here's a recommendation for a theme song for Daryl Carpenter, George Thorogood, Bad to the Bone. And we have this one. I was a cop for 20-plus years and used to hunt and fish a lot. I've since become disabled and can no longer enjoy the outdoors. I live vicariously through your show every Saturday morning. Thank you. That is from Keith. And Keith, thank you for that. It makes me feel good to know that I'm providing that service for you. And here's a choice from the coal burner. He likes a 50-year-old Remington 700 and a 270 caliber. Come on, coal burner. How is a firearms company going to stay in business? You got a 50-year-old gun. I know those guns don't wear out. They last a long time. And here's a text from a dedicated listener. It says, first time texting. Well, don't be a stranger. Text us every week. His son and I, he are going bass fishing in the Lockport Lake Fields area. I like that area. It's cold, but father-son time can't pass up. No, you won't regret it. As cold as it is, and even if you don't catch anything, time spent is the greatest gift that families can exchange. Here's one says, it'd be cool if Cito would do a report once in a while. Happy birthday, Mr. Don. Well, thank you for that, and we'll consider that. I'll see if we can get Captain Chris maybe to do some reports and maybe tell some stories from Cito. I'm sure he's got some very interesting ones. And here's one says, back in the day, I remember my father avidly hunting deer in Bandera County, Texas, with a 30-06. Good memories of my father returning while listening all about your listeners' deer hunting rifles. Yeah, well, that's one thing that you can never take away. You can take away your wealth, your home, your dog, but memories, they're forever. All right, we come back after this. We got some guys made some memories of father-son. They're on our Bad Boys feature next, right after we pause 10 seconds for our local stations to identify themselves on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. On November 26th, that was right around Thanksgiving, I believe, Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fishery Agent Sergeant Michael Messerol, Sergeant Brian Coburn, and Corporal Evan Hoke were on patrol near Plain Dealing, Louisiana. Don't you love the name of that town, Plain Dealing? Well, they made contact with a James Coon and found him in possession of an antler deer that was tagged and validated. But the agents also found another antler deer in the same area where he had harvested the deer in his possession. James Coon admitted to agents of harvesting both deer during the same hunting session. You notice they use harvesting? Well, during questioning, James Coon also admitted to harvesting a total of 5 deer this season, of which 4 were antlered and 3 were not even tagged. The daily limit for the antlered deer in that area is 1 per day and 3 per season. Now, James also ratted out his son, Jeffrey, who also took an antlered deer, and agents found that Jeffrey Boy's hunting licenses had been revoked. The agent seized 4 deer and donated them all to Hunters for the Hungry and a local family in need, which was a good act. Well, taking over the daily limit and seasonal limit brings a up to $500 fine, up to 90 days in jail for each offense, hunting under license revocation, failing to tag, failing to validate, hunting without basic license, hunting deer without a hunting license, a deer hunting license, with no deer tags in possession, brings up to a $350 fine for each one of those offenses. Fines are mounting up. Well, 73-year-old James Coon will face civil restitution in addition to the fines, totaling $4,874 for the replacement value of those deer, while facing civil restitution totaling $1,624 for the replacement value of his deer is chip off the old block, 42-year-old Jeffrey Coon, our bad boys of the outdoors. Ah, we never run out of material. Bad boys all over. All right, we come back after this. We're going to talk to Ryan Lambic. Got a lot to talk about, the proposed season regulations, and also exactly what did he do to help out old Captain Robin. We'll find out from Captain Ryan after this time out, where you're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. We call him the Plastic Man for obvious reasons, and he joins us now. And Captain Ryan, what went on with you and Captain Robin? He wanted me to thank you on the air for the help that you provided. Did you show him how to cook redfish, Ryan? What went on down there?
I have no idea. I just do my thing every day and help everybody comes in my path. So I don't know what I did special.
Well, there'll be a place in heaven for you because I know you've helped a lot of people down there in Plaquemines Parish over the years. Well, look, what do you think about some of these proposals? You and I talked about this 9-day teal season. That's etched in stone. That's going to happen next year. Reduce it.
That's
down.
A federal mandate, I would imagine, because of the amount of teal has been lessening, you know, blue wings in particular for the last couple of years. You know, I don't know if it's the year that we can make the three zones or not, but we need three zones very badly. You know, because the people in the Northwest are not going to be happy closing the season before January 31st. And the people in the coastal zones, we need to do it around the tides. Like, for instance, today, thank God it's closed. We have a negative 1.1. It's dangerous to even go fishing today because you have a negative 1.1 and you have 37 degrees. And, you know, if you get wet in that and get stuck, you could get hypothermia very easy on a day like today. So, don't even go out today.
Yeah, it's happened. What do you think about going from three splits to two? In your zone, it was three this year. They're talking about doing the same as they do in the East and go to two splits.
Well, we can't have two splits. We got to have three. Oh, no, I'm sorry. The splits. Okay, that's a federal mandate as well. If you have three zones, you can only have two splits. If you have two zones, you can have three splits. So I would like three zones, two splits, because that's a federal mandate. But we have to have three zones in order to, you know, Burris cannot be in the same zone as Shreveport. It just doesn't work.
Yeah, you're right. And totally different habitats and flight patterns. All right, now, I got information that there's a possibility they're going to recommend three pintail.
Well, they started talking about that last year as well because there's something with the genders or not balanced. Mm-hmm. And I don't see why not, because all we shoot is males. You know, we very seldom shoot a female if we can help it, except for the guys that are shooting those female gray ducks when the game warden comes.
Yeah.
So, but there's a gender discrepancy. And, that'd be great. I mean, we have pintails. We kill a limit of pintails almost every single blind, every single hunt. Mm-hmm. Which is only one, but we let a lot of them go because, you know, the opportunity is there, but the limit's not. But three, you know, they ought to make it somehow that you can have three males or a male and a female, you know, something like that. If they're doing it for gender discrepancy, mm-hmm. You know, still people shoot that male and a female and they shoot another male. Just, I don't know. I don't know how to work. They said we shot the female last, but you know, if they could do it, you know, most people shoot males anyhow. So, you know, if they want to do that, you know, I'm all for it because we have tons of pintails, but not everywhere does. You know, everybody comes to us and they get these big sprigs, and we send ducks home to mount every single day, either big cans or widgeons or green winged teal or pintails. We keep the taxidermists in business, I promise.
Yeah, well, y'all are very fortunate. You got a unique habitat down there, and it attracts a lot of varied waterfowl down there and in good numbers. And look, no secret. I mean, this weather that we've had north of here certainly helps, even though if you've got a decimated, a compromised population, you're still going to get a lot of birds here, you know, this far south because it's simply what's happening north of us.
I would imagine the remainder of the season is going to be unbelievable due to the fact that it's already cold and freezing up there. But now next week is even going to be colder. It's going to freeze up. We're going to have a lot of birds. You know, it's going to be pretty daggone good. You know, the first 4 or 5 days we have tide, and after that we got big negative tides. But mm-hmm. we're going to make the best of it. Try to hunt the evening. Try to hunt the middle of the day, whatever we can. But we'll be out there every day.
Still got openings.
Yeah, for the latter part of the month, I have openings still. The first 5 days are completely booked up. But, you know, everything from the 24th through the 31st, I can fit some more people. And it's going to be really good. I hope there's a lot of cans. I really like eating cans, and I like I like shooting them. I like looking at them. They're just a big, beautiful bird. That made people get a chance to kill those.
Yeah. Well, for many years, they were actually closed in Louisiana. You couldn't shoot them at all. It was zero limit on canvasback. Yeah, it's a beautiful bird.
Yeah, they come back really nicely.
Well, how does somebody get you if they want to get in on that?
You know, they could just call me direct at 504-559-5111 or just go to the website at CajunFishingAdventures.com. And they can check it all out. We are—it's going to be a busy year. We're booking up pretty good already, so I'm glad it's closed right now. You thought it was a nightmare, but it's going to be really cold next week too. So we have to really bundle up to go get them.
Yes, indeed, we'll do it. All right, Captain Ryan, thank you, my friend. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds great, my friend.
See you then. Ryan Lambert, Cajun Fishing Adventures in Buras, Louisiana. All right, coming back after this. Well, it's about time to wrap it up. I got a few texts coming in. We'll get to those messages and tell you what's coming up on Bayou Isle TV for the month of January. All next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, before we wrap up here, get to some of these late texts coming in. This one says, my favorite weapon for taking down Dixie deer is a Remington semi-auto Model 4 and a 308 caliber using a 165 grain jacketed hollow point, a flat shooting thumper. That's from Joey in Pearl River. This one says, Don, what's your thoughts on conservatives blaming California wildfires on the endangered Delta smelt fish? You know, there was some question about diverting water to save the smelt. All I can say about that is I don't know all the details, but if that, in fact, was the case, that that was a cause of hundreds of thousands of people losing everything they own, I would say the smelt's got to go. You know, I wish there were stegosauruses still around so I could see them. But change, environments change, and so do the inhabitants. I think one of the biggest problems was they were not doing prescribed burning. When you do controlled burning on a regular basis, it eliminates the amount of fuel that there is to be consumed when those fires happen. And I think that probably played a big, big part. All right, Kevin in Oak Ridge likes the CETO report suggestion. We'll do that. Here's a good one. It says, with regard to our bad boy father and son, he says, I'll bet the son is PO'd. His dad went from coon to rat. Yep, we get it. Here's a happy birthday from our Baldwin County, Alabama teacher friend. Says, it's cold over there in South Alabama, and her sons live in Ohio and Birmingham, and they both have snow. And this one says, if reducing the teal season to 9 days, then have a split season on teal to keep it a little longer. Well, there's an idea, but that's got to go through federal bureaucracy. And before that could get done, the teal population probably will rebound. All right, here's one from Captain Reichert, Talladano. Guess where he is? He's in Memphis looking for some rendezvous barbecue. Sounds good on a cold Tennessee morning for sure. And my friend Rick says his first deer rifle was a Remington Model 721. His brother Jim bought it at the company store in 1951 for $60. That gun has killed dozens of deer and has been used by several generations in my family. The company store was in McIntyre, Pennsylvania, a coal mining community. Well, if guns could only talk about all the deer taking the trips and maybe the ones that were missed too. All right. Thanks for all those texts, all of our listeners. We really appreciate it. We also have a preview of what's coming up for Bayou Wild TV. Mississippi Squirrel Revival, one of my favorite pieces. We were hunting with Carlton Savoy and anything outdoors. We, my buddy Uncle Larry, we cooked some squirrel stew and a few. It's called Mississippi Squirrel Revival. You can catch that this week. Next week, we talked about with Mike Gallo, Dutch's Corner, a tribute to Dutch Prager, longtime listener of this show and a very renowned fisherman in Louisiana. January 23rd, we'll be playing Champions of the Call. We will be goose hunting with Hayden Richard and Captain Mike Smith. John Foltz will be cooking some specklebelly goose with orange marmalade. And we'll close out January with Bassin' on the Bend. The Toledo Bend will be part one. We'll cover some bass fishing, and then we'll do a little preview of the Saco Lake we caught on the end of the episode. And the recipe with Nathan Judas, a chef, Parmesan blackened fish. Always got some good stuff to eat on Bayou Wild TV. Check it out. If you want to find a station near you, BayouWildTV.com. We also have a YouTube channel there where you can watch it. Speaking of Bayou Wild TV, when I leave here, I'm headed out. We're going to meet up around Abbeville, head down to Pecan Island. Derek Poor of Troops and Tuss is going to be there. We'll be staying with Bob and Jody Fontenot. Will Clark, famous baseball player from the San Francisco Giants. He's a volunteer board member with Hunters for the Hungry. He's coming along with us. Also, Travis Link from Hunter the Hungry. Chris LeCocq, our cameraman, will be there to record it all for Bayou Wild. We're going to be nighttime hunting for feral hogs, doing our part to try to control the population, the overpopulation of feral hogs. And we'll be doing it with infrared scopes, thermal imaging scopes. We'll be recording that, and you'll get to see that on an upcoming episode of Bayou Wild TV. Now, next week on this show, Randy Pacina is going to join us from the Recreational Fisheries Research Institute. You may or may not be aware that they are undertaking the first ever redfish stocking program for Louisiana waters. We've already captured the first two segments of that. When the fish were actually captured in Grand Isle, they were transported to Mississippi, to Ocean Springs, where they're being held in tanks. We went over there, and they were doing quite well. They're going to spawn the fish and then return the fry back to Louisiana, where they came from, in an effort to help boost the Louisiana redfish population. First time it's ever been done, and Randy Pacina with the Recreational Fisheries Research Institute will join us next week to explain how that is working. All right, that's about going to do it. I'm headed out into the great outdoors. I hope you get a chance to go out and do it. We got some more text still coming in. Let's see. This one says, Fishing Free 504, me and my son are going to Baton Rouge for a trapping class put on by Wildlife and Fisheries. Yeah, trapping has become a lost industry, not just in Louisiana, but everywhere. But still, it's, I used to do some trapping myself and haven't done it in a long time, but still a worthwhile and venture. All right, we'll see you again next week. We'll be here 5 to 7 a.m., same time, same station, and hope you'll be there with us on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network.